Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I'm so pleased to have you here for another episode. Welcome to all of the new subscribers. And today what we're going to do is answer a question that came up in the group. Remember, I was explaining that I had a post in my group asking for any requests for podcast topics. So this request came through from Tahira. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. And her question was how to build your practice without Medicare. Now, in my group, we do not talk about Medicare and we do not talk about vaccines for obvious reasons. They're hot topics and they're discussed in other groups. So I want to keep our group nice and all of that sort of jazz. But I will absolutely speak to this in the podcast because this is a really common question, and I don't know why it comes up all the time for counselors, because counselors don't work with Medicare. As somebody who did work in the Medicare system for over 20 years, I fail to understand why anybody would want to work in it. But that's a whole other question. So let me sort of unpack this for you. Now, for those of you who've been listening for a while, you will know I've done other podcast episodes on this. So I was thinking today, what could I share that would be, you know, kind, useful, helpful, and get you some traction without repeating what I've already shared. Also, as many of you know, I've put together a complimentary guide about how to build a Medicare-free practice. So if you don't have that, let me know and I can absolutely get it over to you. So there's already a bunch of resources out there that you can use. So today's explanation of how to build a practice without Medicare rebates is going to sound different because it's already been covered in the quote unquote normal and traditional ways in my other episodes. So let's unpack it a little bit more deeply. I think the first thing to do is to really understand and honor the difference between counseling, psychology, and social work. All right. And what I mean by this, as somebody who's been on both sides, and I know that's rare, but for somebody who's been on both sides, what I can absolutely share with you is my explanation of somebody with lived experience in both camps as to the difference, because I understand a lot of counselors especially have difficulty explaining how they differ in their services from psychology. So to become a psychologist, it's a 6-year university degree. And, you know, I did 14 years. And when you're studying psychology, you learn it now in the Faculty of Science. It's considered science. When I was learning it, it was moving into science. And so that's why we had to do, you know, I've got triple majors in statistics and psychology and sociology, and we had to do lab reports. We had to constantly do experiments. We had to understand what made something 95%, you know, true or accurate. We had to be able to evaluate the efficacy of treatments, right? There's a terminology that's based on the medical model. You know, we talk about interventions, we talk about variables, we talk about independent variables. We talk about hypotheses. So a hypothesis is an idea that you have that you want to test, and you test it with clients. And so we always had to write lab reports, we write theses, we write articles for publication in important psychology magazines, all of that sort of stuff. We learn about the science of the brain, or all of those sorts of things. So my experience is psychologists, apart from learning the science of the brain, the science of behavior, the science of thinking, the science of emotion and feeling, and all of that sort of jazz, psychologists also spend years learning how to make a clinical diagnosis. So we also learn about different assessments, everything from personality assessments to cognitive functioning to autism assessments to PTSD assessments to, well, everything. So we have to develop a level of proficiency in being able to administer, like know who's going to suit an assessment. We have to know what assessment to choose, like which assessment's going to be appropriate. We have to know how to run the test. We have to know how to score the test. We have to know how to interpret the data that comes from the test. We have to write up a report, and that report has to include the history, the symptoms, the prognosis, the treatments, and make all of these recommendations for ongoing treatments, not just psychological ones, but within a psychosocial biological model. And then there's, of course, intervention implementation and monitoring and follow-up and all of that sort of thing. There's case conferences, like when we diagnose for autism, we usually would be liaising with an OT or an occupational therapist, a speech therapist, a pediatrician, and maybe even the doctor of the child. So there's all this sort of stuff going on. And we have to learn how to get results pretty quickly, because a lot of the work that we get as psychology comes from different funding bodies, and they don't want to pay for extended treatment. So by that I mean Medicare. So you have to take like data. Again, you know, it's very clinical. We have to take data, and we have to have a diagnosis, and we have to have a treatment plan, and we have to have a discharge summary, as some people call it, and all of this sort of stuff. So it's very, very clinical. When we work with work cover clients, it's exactly the same. You know, you have to sometimes go for meetings with the clinical review board and justify why you chose, based on the science, why you chose to use CBT over solution focused or something like that. So as a psychologist working in that field with all those different types of funding models and bodies, you still do counseling, because counseling is a component of what you do. So if you can imagine a pie chart, you will have different segments of that pie chart, and counseling is one of them. And all psychologists are trained in counseling. For some reason, ACA and PACFA don't want to accept that, but they are. I have a master's in counseling from Monash University, with 1,000 hours of clinical placements and all of this sort of stuff, plus what we learned in our undergrad, plus what we learned in our honours year, plus what we did in the PhD. But, there are some membership bodies that just will not consider that, which is a real shame, because it's at a much higher level than some of the, you know, more traditional pathways to getting a qualification. It's recognized by those groups. But anyway, counseling is part of the role of a psychologist. All psychologists provide counseling. Okay, they do. And in addition, they provide a whole range of other things, as what we said before, diagnosis, assessment, report writing, things like that. Okay. And they work within that umbrella of the medical model. Now, that's the difference between psychology and counseling. Counselors, in my opinion, specialize in the counseling part of what psychologists do, because counselors can't and don't diagnose, assess, work within a medical model, do clinical reports, all of that sort of stuff, right? Counselors do not work in the medical model. That's why they're not on Medicare. Counselors work on counseling, but that's not all there is in something like Medicare. In Medicare, it's more than counseling. Counseling is a chunk of what you do, but it's not the only thing that you do. And this is what counselors, I think, don't understand or maybe struggle with. But what I see as some of the benefits for counselors is you have the freedom, or we have the freedom, to work beyond the medical model, okay? Because we don't diagnose, we don't assess, we don't provide treatment, we don't call our clients patients, we don't do discharge reports, or all of that sort of stuff. That's not our jam. There are other people, i.e. psychologists, that will go and do that. Not us. We focus on developing space where clients can process whatever comes up for them without us being driven by our own agenda of we've got to get this person back to work in 12 sessions, or we've got to get this person improving their DAS scores because I've only got 4 Medicare sessions left. It's like there's no agenda. The agenda with counseling is that you be present for as long as it takes for your client to get the help that they need. We want to work with our clients and have one experience of them in our lifetime. In psychology, what happens is when you work on the Medicare system anyway, you'll get to a certain point with your clients and then their rebates will run out and they will just cut you off. They will just say, most of the time, they will just say, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to pay to come and see you when I can get it free, so I'll just wait until January and I'll come back then. So you don't see them for 9 months. And then when they do come back, you got to start at square one because they've got to catch you up on 9 months of drama that's happened in their life. So it's very challenging sometimes. You have to develop skills as a psychologist to try and keep people engaged when they don't want to be in treatment and things like that. The other thing with psychology is you do work with mandated clients, clients who have to be there, sex offenders, people who are recently released from prisons perhaps, juvenile offenders, all of this sort of stuff. But you know, perpetrators of domestic violence are sometimes mandated to go and do things like men's behavior programs and stuff like that. So you don't have that with counseling. With counseling, clients come to you because they do not want you to pathologize anything. They do not want their details stored in Medicare systems. They value their privacy. They value the relationship with you. They value not having to rush through therapy to get to an outcome because of some funding body that's going to cut off their money. They are here because what you can provide for them, a psychologist can't. Not because he or she doesn't want to, but because they can't. Their hands are tied, their wings are clipped if they're working in those other funding models, because those funding models come with conditions and those health practitioners have to work to those conditions. Okay, so that's what I mean. Understand what the difference is between counseling and psychology, because that's going to help you explain to a client when they call and they make that appointment. If they say they've looked at psychology profiles, they've looked at counseling profiles, they're calling you because something in your marketing has led them there that resonated with them. And then they find out you don't do rebates, for example. Well, how you handle that objection, that's what it's called. It's called like an objection to booking in. And there are different types of objections and we can go over them later on. But if you understand the difference between what a psychologist does and how they do it and what you do and how you do it, it's going to be much easier for you to connect with that client. And if they're still the right fit for you, get them booked in and get them the help that they're needing and that they've been looking for. Okay, and it's also going to help you articulate for them what the difference is, and it will allow them to make a more informed choice about what they want to do. Because the other thing too is not everybody knows about counseling, but people will go to their doctors and the doctors will refer often on a mental health care plan to a psychologist or perhaps sometimes a social worker as well, an accredited mental health social worker. They deliver services under mental health care plans too. And so what was I going to say? You have to understand the difference between you and a psychologist so that you can speak to it. That's the first thing. The second thing that I want to draw your attention to is I really want you to go back and think about why you chose to do counseling instead of psychology. What was it about, or even social work, what was it that got you to build a career in counseling? Because let's be honest, you could have been a counselor, you could have been a social worker, you could have been a psychologist. Why did you choose counseling? There must be a reason. And what's that reason? And how can you use that reason to help explain to a potential client who may want to book in with you why you do what you do? How can you explain to them that you had an opportunity to do psychology, but this is why you pursued counseling? And is that on your website? Like, how are you marketing yourself? But thinking back to life choices you made about the career you wanted to take, you know, when you had the counseling handbook, you had the psychology handbook, and you had the social work handbook, and you're sitting there at the kitchen table with your coffee looking over each of them, why did you choose counseling? Okay. Remember back to that, anchor back to your why. The other thing too, that like step three, this is one step, but it can have lots of sub steps, but basically get real with yourself and really sit there for a moment and allow yourself to identify, do I have thoughts and feelings and beliefs around building a practice without Medicare that perhaps aren't really serving me at this point in my career? Like, what do I need to let go of? And I can share with you some of the common ones. Some of the common ones are, you know, having a fear mindset and thinking, oh no, because I don't have Medicare, then no one's ever going to book in with me, and da 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 da, and psychologists are horrible because they've got Medicare and it's not fair, and counselors should be on Medicare. If you're that person, you're living in 2-me consciousness, and it's going to take you a long time to build your practice while you're in that place. You need to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and say, what can I do about this for my practice right now? And start taking some responsibility for your marketing. Start taking some responsibility for how you want to handle your inquiry calls, and start taking some responsibility for why you chose to become a counselor and not a psychologist in the first place. Because guess what? If you wanted to do Medicare so badly, you could have gone and done psychology, or you could have gone and done social work and then furthered your qualifications there and got your mental health accreditation. Like, there were pathways for you to do that. So really think about that as well. And, you know, is there a scarcity mindset at play for you here? Are you thinking to yourself, oh no, 99% of people out there all want Medicare rebates, which means there's not enough clients to go around, and I'm never going to fill my diary, and da 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 da, and that spiraling type thinking? Because if that's going on for you, we need to do something about that, because that is keeping you in a perpetual state of inertia in your practice. You will not grow. In fact, you could be setting yourself up for a really difficult time of things, because what will happen when you've got a scarcity mindset is you don't become selective and you don't tune into your ideal client, and you'll accept anybody who wants to book in with you. And not everybody who books in with you is going to be perfect for you. I think we all know this from our experience. I think we can all bring to mind times we should have said no, but we actually said yes, and it ended up causing headaches. Yep. So really allow yourself to think, if you've got that scarcity mindset going on, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to fix it? Who can help you with that? The other one too is releasing ego mindset. Okay. So fear, you know, oh my gosh, you know, is it even possible? What if I can't, you know, what if I can't be successful without Medicare? Then what does that mean? And all of this, or conversely, what if it works? Like, oh my gosh, what if I can? And here's the thing I want you to know is that everybody can absolutely build a thriving, profitable, happy private practice without Medicare. You don't need it. Okay. In fact, it's better for you if you don't have it, in my opinion. And if you want to talk more about that, book a call and I'll be happy to share my thoughts, because I don't want you going down the Medicare rabbit hole if you're not going to love it. And believe you me, there are plenty of people who work as psychologists and social workers under Medicare who aren't loving it, all right? And I'm sure they'll be able to tell you why as well. So I just don't want you to be under any misapprehension that Medicare is the holy grail and you'll suddenly fill your diary, because the reality is you will fill your diary, but not necessarily with the types of clients that you really, really want to work with, okay, in my opinion and in my experience. The other thing too is to look at releasing any of the wounded feminine energy. So irrespective of how you identify in terms of your sexuality, we all have masculine and feminine energy, also called yin and yang. But just quickly, that wounded feminine is always feeling like she's not good enough. Everyone's judging her. Nothing she does is right. Everybody hates her. She just can't get ahead. It's that victim martyr mindset. She people pleases, and she's so afraid of somebody rejecting her that she doesn't niche and she doesn't have a good message that resonates with ideal clients, because she says things like, I don't want to limit anybody from coming to see me, so I'm just going to see everyone. And this is reflected in her very general, vague marketing. And then she still doesn't get inquiries, or the inquiries that she gets aren't suitable, and she ends up having her time wasted. And then she gets in this circle of, oh, I still didn't book anybody in. It must be something to do with me or my practice or whatever it is. And it's actually nothing to do with any of that. We just need to shift the energy away from that victim mindset, away from that martyr mindset, and over into a healthy, sacred, divine, feminine energy, which is more about caring, nurturing, loving, kindness, compassion, all of those sorts of things, being creative. Again, if you need help with this, of course, let me know. The fourth point that I've got written down here in my horrible handwriting on my remarkable is understand what you do and why, and speak from that place. So again, this is just going back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of, why did you choose counseling? You know, even if it's your style of counseling, why did you choose that over Medicare models? Why was it important to you to build a practice without Medicare? What do you stand for? What does Medicare mean to you? All of that sort of stuff. Going back to what you do and why you do it in counseling is going to help you convert more of those inquiries over into bookings. And then the last point that I've got here is to really market the practice consistently and to the right audience for your practice in the right way. And this is something that a lot of private practice owners struggle with. Nobody's taught them how to do it. They don't want to invest in learning how to do it. And so they just keep throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. And it's really sad to see that happen. You know, after spending all that time and all that money in your education and your placement hours and your memberships and your insurances and everything, I don't understand why you wouldn't pay to get the help to learn how to market the practice the right way. Because when you're unclear about how to market, well, here's the thing, we don't know what we don't know. And here's something that I can tell you. When I say to people, you know, what are you doing? Do you have a marketing plan? They go, yes. I say, great. Tell me what your marketing plan is. And they say, oh yeah, well, I market on, I advertise, or I put posts on Facebook and Instagram and my website, and I keep a blog, and I post in groups, and I do this and I do that. That's not a plan. You could kind of call it a strategy, but on a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably a 0, because it's not going to work. And then when you're given the idea of, when somebody says to you, well, it's very clear what you need to do, I can see very clearly why you're not filling the diary, it's because there's a lack of a marketing plan and a lack of a marketing strategy. But hey, there's a way that you can learn that. When people say, I'm not really interested in learning that, thanks anyway, I just think to myself, okay, so this person must be very happy to stay where they are in the practice. And that's totally fine. I'm not that sort of person who can do that though. I want the quick answer. I want to know what I'm doing well wrong or what I'm missing. And here's the thing, when I start talking to people about, we create the marketing plan for them, nine times out of ten, they go, oh my gosh, there's so much I didn't realize, I didn't know. And so there's more to getting in front of your audience than posting everywhere every day. That's not getting in front of your audience, and it's not going to fill your diary without Medicare rebates. If you do not have a marketing plan and a marketing strategy, you must get one. And no, you can't get them off. You can't get them off Google or Bing or Safari, because they're not relevant, right? We're in a very, very unique industry. We're not like other industries. We've got codes of ethics. We have restrictions about things like testimonials. We have restrictions about things like, speaking to the types of treatments we use or we avoid. There's all sort of caveats around what we can do and what we cannot do when it comes to marketing. So you need to create a marketing plan with someone who understands what you can do and not do, because you want to be able to implement it safely and consistently. And the whole goal is to build that practice. Yep. So they're just my thoughts, in addition to what we've already covered in previous podcasts on building a practice without Medicare. You've also got the complimentary guide there. If you didn't get it and you'd like it, let me know, and I can absolutely get it to you. But you've got that guide there that also walks you through what you need to do to fill your diary without Medicare rebates. It's something I'm really, really passionate about and something I'm really good at helping people with. So much so that my diary is fully booked with helping private practice owners to do exactly that in 60 days or less, or in 90 days or less, right? It's totally possible. You can absolutely do it. You know, it's part of the reason that I love coaching, because I love to see the results that everybody gets. So that's the show for today. If you haven't jumped over to YouTube yet, head over there. As I said, there are two of the Facebook videos getting uploaded every week. So keep your eye on that for new content that's always coming out. What else do I want to say? Two places actually coming up in December for coaching. So if you would like to apply for coaching, of course you don't have to, but if you would like to have a chat about what coaching is and what it looks like and if it's the right thing for you, let me know. You can book an appointment using the booking button in the show notes. It's a free complimentary call. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions and see whether or not I can actually help you before we discuss what coaching is and what it involves and all those sorts of things. And if I can't help you, I'll let you know and I can connect you with somebody who might be a better match. And we can go from there. But you can build the private practice that you want. I'm proof of that. There are so many other women and men in private practice that are doing exactly this as well, all without Medicare, okay? And yeah, you're supported all the time. Live in positive expectation that life and the business is always working out for you, and you'll start to notice changes happening without much effort at all. All right, my lovelies, have a beautiful rest of the Wednesday, and I'll see you on Saturday for the next episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. Thanks, everyone. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding your processes and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.